Welcome to Mosaic Church, and thank you for joining us here online. To prepare for today's message, we encourage you to utilize the Mosaic Cincinnati app. There you can view the message notes, put in prayer requests, and so much more. Enjoy the message.
So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah, we're going to be in chapter 2, but I mean, you can look at chapter 1 a little bit as we get started today. But there's just something amazing about unplugging. Right? And we've been talking about in this series about just hitting the reset button on our relationship with Christ. And in the first week, we talked about what happens when we reset and just get in the presence of God. We experience conviction. We experience alignment. You know, we just experience the presence of God and we get realigned with what he wants to do in our lives. And then so we talked about the promises of God and Reagan talked about the armor of God. And these are all things that just help us to reset and realign and go God's direction instead of our direction. But these past couple weeks, I got to get away with the family and be on the beach a little bit and do some hiking, and we just had an amazing time. But have you ever been on vacation and noticed that there's just a new level of relaxation each day, right? It's like the first day, you're still kind of like buzzing from getting gone and all the preparation you had to do to go. And then the next day, you're a little bit more calm. And then by the third day, you're just like, man, I am totally here. And this is amazing. And I love to track stats. And so like on my phone, I've got my Connect app. It's with my Garmin, you know, wristwatch, and it tracks all kinds of things. And I don't even know what half of them are, but you know, my heartbeat and the stress levels on that app reached new lows this week. Like I've never reached as low as I got, right? And so because I'm a runner, I'm kind of into all those things. But guys, my resting heartbeat, I'm going to geek out with you. It went all the way down to 43 beats a minute one night this last week. And usually I'm around like 47, 48. And I'm like, wow. And I felt it. I felt just so incredibly relaxed. And it's almost like you forget there's a life you have to get back to. You know, your feet are in the sand. I'm watching my son fish. My other son is doing this skimboard. And Jovi, she's just in the waves the whole time. She's out there with the sharks that my son is pulling in, right? And so, yeah, my son caught this huge shark. It was amazing. But you forget that there's another life. And you're just having a great time. And this analogy I'm going to use is not totally the same, but you know, being in that state of just relaxation and just like not a care in the world, it makes me think of astronauts in space. Like they're totally weightless. They're just hanging out. They're not really connected to the rest of the world. They've got this view, this perspective of the earth that none of us have gotten to see with our own eyes. We've only got to see it on screens. At least I don't think we have any astronauts in the room this morning. And then, though, it's time for them to go home. It's time for the astronauts to leave that weightless environment and go home. And how many of you know that getting home for an astronaut is a little bit more difficult than my family piling in our Honda Pilot and driving 10 hours back home? Their ride is just a little bit more bumpy than ours was to get home. And when the astronauts come home, they have to get it right. Everything has to go right for them to re-enter the atmosphere safely. Chris Hadfield was an astronaut, and here's how he described the re-entry process into the atmosphere. He said, it felt like going over Niagara Falls in a barrel that's on fire, followed by a high-speed crash, right? And maybe some of you, if you ever came back from vacation, it kind of felt like that. You went back to work, and it's like everything is on fire, and you're like, what happened here? I was only gone for a week. What is wrong with you people, right? Maybe some of you have had that experience. Another astronaut, Scott Kelly, he spent 340 days in space. And he said about reentry, he said, the capsule, I always thought it was funny that they called it a capsule. It's like we swallow capsules taking medicine, but you know, here they're coming back into the atmosphere in a capsule. He said, the capsule feels like it's disintegrating. The G-forces push you down hard. It's brutal, like being in a car crash that lasts for several minutes. And so when they re-enter the atmosphere, everything has to go right. Listen to just some of the things that have to go right. First of all, their angle. The angle at which they hit the atmosphere has to be perfect. They have to put off a deorbit burn at just the right time, or else it won't work right. Their heat shield on their capsule has to be fully intact, and there can't be any imperfections, or else it'll just disintegrate. The flight controls have to work properly. Nothing can go wrong mechanically. They have to decelerate at just the right smooth and controlled pace so that their shuttle doesn't overheat. The comms, their communication with Earth, with mission control, they black out for a period of time, and they're just flying solo. They have to do it all on their own. Their glide and their approach has to be accurate so that they hit the runway or the right spot in the ocean, and it all has to be planned out. The landing gear obviously has to deploy timely, and it has to lock into place. And then lastly, everything that keeps the crew safe and alive inside the capsule has to work just right. Their life support, their G tolerance, their systems, everything has to just be perfect. Now, I can't imagine being the people that had to figure all that stuff out. Can you? All the math that had to happen. I'm horrible at math, right? I just can't imagine. But all the planning, and you wonder how many people it took to plan their return. Now, I know it's not the same, but do we take our re-entry after we've been in the presence of God, after we've rested and reset in his presence and gotten in alignment with him, do we take our re-entry back into life that seriously? Do we? Now, chances are you're not going to die if you don't re-enter properly like the astronauts, right? And today's talk is definitely more than just about coming back from vacation. In week one, we talked about resetting in God's presence and how alignment happens. And you get back on the same page with him. But I know for me that when I'm on break, when I get on vacation, I get clarity once again about the stakes in my life and how high they are and how this life is not just a game. And I don't just have a job, I have a calling. And how I don't just have things to do, I have sacred tasks that God has given me and a mission that supersedes my job title, and my paycheck. Change of place plus change of pace equals a change of perspective. And every time I change my pace and I change my place, I get that. I get a change of perspective, and I'm so thankful for that. I count the cost. There's a gut check that happens in my life. Like, hey, am I still in this? Do I still want to do this? Am I still on the right path that God has for me? And I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, when I reset, those are the kind of things that happen in my heart and in my life. And if I've rested well, and that's a big if I've rested well, I probably had some moments with God. I probably had some quiet time, which I'm so thankful I did, that where God just speaks to me. And if I've had moments with God, and if you have moments with God, but I have no intentional way of implementing those moments back into my life when I move forward, then guess what? When I come back, I'll likely be no better off than I was before. Think about that. You have these moments, you get in alignment, but if you have no way of re-entering life in a different way, then everything's probably just going to go back to the way it was. It's going to be the same. And so think about it. When coming back after a time in God's presence or a break or a vacation or what have you, what's our normal progression? Most of the time we reluctantly re-engage. We're like, I got to go back to work. You know, I've heard a lot of teachers this summer, you know, if I say something like back to school, they're like, oops. They're like, don't say that. Those are cuss words in July. Right? Do not talk about going back to school. And so we're reluctantly re-engaging. We ask ourselves questions like, man, do I really want to do this again? Or we ease back in. We're just like, I'm just going to take this slow. Or the work really piled up while we were gone. And so now we're just like, I got to go back and dig myself out of the hole that I just created. But the last thing many times that we're thinking about when we re-enter into life is vision or impact. We're just thinking about survival. But I think there's a better posture that we could have, and that's what today's message is about. Today's message could be for anybody. It could be for teachers going back to school. It could be for vacationers coming back. It could be for you if, man, you've been hearing the voice of God and experiencing his presence lately, and you're figuring out how to get what you've experienced in God's presence back into your daily life. But too many times, church, we go from word to word or Sunday to Sunday or blessing to blessing with not much change in between. And that's not God's plan. Can we just be together today in agreeing that if we hear from God, something should change. Something should change in our life. And so when God puts something in our heart, when we have a chance to reset, what do we do? I believe that we should follow what we see happen in the life of Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah in chapter 1, he had a vision. He heard about problems back in Jerusalem, a place he had never lived, a place he had never seen. He was born in exile. He was born as a servant of a king of a foreign nation. But when he heard about the state of his hometown, his heart was broken. And his heart was brought into alignment with God's. And how do we know this is a God thing? Because I believe we know it's a God thing because Nehemiah had never even been to Jerusalem, and yet his heart was broken for a place that he had never been. And it didn't stop there. When he re-entered his life after this encounter with God, he got a plan together. Look what happened in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We're going to read the whole passage, and then we'll unpack it together. Early the following spring, after Nehemiah had his heart broken about what had happened in Jerusalem, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified. But I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, "If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone? When will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, "If it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make the beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and a house for myself." And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. Wow. So we're going to unpack this and think about how Nehemiah re-entered his life after getting a burden, after having a moment with God, after getting his heart reset and aligned with God in his presence. So the first thing that we see that Nehemiah does after chapter 1 is that he got back to work and he did good work. So you and I, after we have a moment with God, what do we need to do? We get back to work, but we don't just get back to work. We do good work. We do good work. What does it say in verse 1? It says, early the following spring, and then it says, I was serving the king his wine. Why was he serving the king his wine? Because he was the cupbearer. That's literally what he did. That was like his singular job, was to serve the king. And so day after day after day after day, what did Nehemiah do? He served the king his drinks. That's what he did. And because of the king's response in the story, I think it would be safe to say that he did his job well. He didn't do it reluctantly. He didn't do it with a heavy heart. He didn't do it with an attitude that, oh, I hate my job and I just wish I wasn't here. No, he must have done his job well. And another thing I want to point out is that time had passed. It says early the following spring. And so God put this vision and this brokenness in Nehemiah's heart at one time, but then it wasn't until months and months later, the following spring, when God finally gave him something to do about it, when an opportunity arose in his life. And that says something about the timing in your life and mine. Time had passed, but the vision that God had placed in Nehemiah's heart had not. The mark of God's presence was very, very much still on Nehemiah's life. And I think that's something important for you and me to wrestle with. That just because Nehemiah had to keep living life did not mean that he had to fall out of alignment with God's plan for him. So much of the time we have an experience in God's presence, we have a time of just a strong devotional life, and then all of a sudden it's like we just go on with life like that never happened. But that obviously is not what happened for Nehemiah. He held in tension this fact that God had put something inside of him, and he was still in his day job. He was still doing the mundane tasks of life that God had called him to do. And those two things were not in competition. This is a tension that we need to learn to hold. To have a heavenly calling, and every single one of us have. We are all called by God. And so we need to live lives worthy of our calling. That's what the scripture tells us to do. We have a heavenly calling, and we're to live right where we're planted in a way that honors God, because you never know when your opportunity is going to come to step into that next thing that God has for you. And I'm not saying that next thing is always going to be a different job or a different place or a different thing, but there's always a next thing that God has for you and for me. So this is a tension. Listen, your day job doesn't have to be a distraction from what God is doing in your life. Maybe it's exactly where he wants you to live out what God is doing in your life. If Nehemiah would have had this attitude that, oh, God broke my heart for this, but oh, I just have to keep doing this every day, then he would not have been ready to speak when the moment arose. There had to have been something about how Nehemiah worked that softened the king's heart towards him in the right moment. We know that Nehemiah prayed and asked God specifically, God soften the king's heart. We know that happened. But there had to also have been just something about how Nehemiah went about his daily life and carried himself that helped to soften the king's disposition towards him. Remember, Nehemiah was a servant, a slave, he was in exile, and yet, on that day when, obviously, Nehemiah just couldn't hold back anymore his sadness, and it was showing through on the outside, the king was concerned about him. The king was concerned about him. You see, when you do your work the right way, when you pray, when you stay in alignment with God, then people are going to see you differently. They're going to see you different, and you're going to have a influence in places you should not have had influence. There's no reason Nehemiah should have had the place that he was given to speak like that in the king's presence. So how you live will speak volumes over what you say. There also had to be something about how Nehemiah worked that prepared him for service to God. He had to wait patiently. He had to do his job well. He had to be ready for his moment. And so the first thing we do is we get back to work and we do good work. The second thing that we do is we stay in alignment with God and we operate from a position of readiness. So the king asked Nehemiah, "What in the world's wrong with you today?" Never before had he looked sad in the presence of the king. And so the king speaks up, and because of the rapport that Nehemiah had built, the king is all of a sudden concerned and says, "What's wrong?" What happens? Nehemiah says, "I was terrified. I was terrified." There's always going to be a tension between the calling that God places in your life and the real world that you live in. And these two worlds were colliding in this moment. And what was Nehemiah's emotion? Terrified. So don't be surprised if you're a little terrified when your moment comes. But he replied, "Long live the king. How could I not be sad? The city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven. And how many of you know you'd be praying too? You'd be shaking in your boots. "If it pleased the king, and if you are pleased with me." So remember, how he worked was a part of the equation. "Send me to Judah to rebuild the city." So his moment came. And here's what I love about Nehemiah. He knew exactly what he was going to say. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He was in alignment with God, and he was ready. His bow was drawn. He was ready for his opportunity, but he was waiting patiently. And so you never know when your opportunity is going to come to make a difference. You never know when that seed that God planted in your heart, you know, it's going to be time to step into it. But Nehemiah teaches that, man, whenever that comes, whether it's next spring, whether it's the following fall, whatever season that God calls you to strike, you better be ready. You better be ready. The question for you and for me today is, will we notice and will we be ready? I think too many times we just slip back into the normal. We slip back into the daily tasks, all the things that we have to do, and we miss the moments that God gives us to speak up, to step into that calling. We forget about it. We leave it on the shelf. We leave it back in that special time that we had with God, and we miss it. So will I let the fire of what God has started in your soul die out, or will we work in such a way to put ourselves in such a position that when the opportunity comes, we are ready to speak, even if we're terrified? Number three, as we close today, we see an important lesson in the life of Nehemiah that we can't wait for our moment to get ready. We can't wait for our moment to get ready. I believe with all my heart that if Nehemiah would have said, "Well, king, this is what I want to do," and then when the king started asking all these questions, if Nehemiah didn't have answers, my gut is the king would have been like, he's going to move on to the 100 different tasks he has to do and all the other important things rather than listening to this lowly servant cupbearer that isn't even from his own country. And he's just going to move on. But Nehemiah was ready. He was ready, and he didn't wait for that moment to get ready. And so after Nehemiah had given some requests and said, "Hey, I need this, and I need this, and I need this," in verse 7, he said, "I also said to the king," and guess what he did? He asked for more. He had an entire plan. He didn't just need the wood, and he didn't just need the stuff. He needed protection. He needed all these different things, and he wasn't afraid to ask the king for what he needed. What does this tell me, and what does this tell you today? That he had long been thinking about it, that he had long been preparing, that he had long been planning, and that even though he wasn't able to act on what had been put in his heart, yet he was ready with a plan. And if I had a nickel for every time I'd heard of people that God had put something in their heart at one point, but then they didn't get to live that out until 5, 10, 20 years later. Church, I've heard that story so many times over and over and over, that way back when God put this in my heart, but you know, then they didn't get to actually step into that calling or step into that reality until way down the road. And what we learn from Nehemiah is that in that waiting time, in that period where we're still just doing our day job, when we're still just doing our thing that we've always done, We need to be planning. We need to be preparing. We need to be saying, God, speak to my heart about what this should look like. We can put pen to paper. We can put thoughts down. We can have it ready to go when the door opens. Man, this could be the same for you've got a person in your life that you've been praying about to lead to Jesus. Man, have you thought, have you stopped to pray? Have you thought about what you're going to say when the door gets opened? Have you thought about, man, what your go-to explanation about the gospel is going to be? Have you thought about how you're going to maybe live in front of that person as to lead them towards Christ? Don't wait for your moment to get ready. Right now is the time to prepare. Right now is the time to grow. I love what Pastor Jason Mitchell says. He says, everyone wants to go to the next level, but most people don't want to grow to the next level. Everyone wants to get there, wherever there is, to have that, to do this, to do that. But rarely do we want to go through that season of just doing our job and doing it well and investing in the relationships and till we're ready, preparing our heart, preparing our mind, planning our attack, doing the hard work before we have the title to be ready for God, what God wants us to step into. Think about this question. What are you able to do in this season that you'll never be able to do again? You know, before I was a lead pastor, life was different. I'll just be honest with you. You know, I was on staff at a church and I loved it. I loved it. And now that I'm a lead pastor, I have to do things differently than I did then. And so there was a season in my life before this opportunity came where I could do things that I probably couldn't ever do again. And so thankfully I took those opportunities to grow and to read and to listen and to prepare my heart and to not worry about the next season, but just grow in the season that I was in. And then God said, okay, it's time for the next season, which I wasn't even looking for. And I think that's the posture that God wants us to, that we see in Nehemiah's life, that, hey, I'm in the season. And I'm going to do what I can do in this season that I may never get to do again in another season. And I'm not going to worry about rushing into the next season. I'm just going to be content, but I'm going to be ready. You see, so many times we get so excited about what God is calling us to do that we forget the time that we're in now. We forget to plan or to prepare. We think, I just want to be there. Kind of like my kids on our road trip, you know, these past couple weeks. How much longer? How much longer? We just want to be there. We just want to get to the next place. We just want to do the next thing. Instead of maybe just asking ourselves, well, how can I use the time that I have now to prepare for when God says go? You see, Nehemiah knew what he was going to say and how he was going to say it. He didn't just have the vision. He had the specifics laid out. Nehemiah knew how long it would take. Nehemiah knew what he would need. He asked for the letters. He asked for the supplies. He asked for the protection. The king added more protection. You know what that shows us? That the king knew what kind of opposition was going to come when Nehemiah stepped out in the lead to lead. The king knew to give Nehemiah some things that Nehemiah didn't even ask for. And that's what God does for you. When you are faithful to prepare and to get ready for what God wants you to do, God's going to put a hedge of protection in front and behind you, and he's going to even give you things that you didn't know you need. Because you're doing what you can do, and you're trusting God to do what only God can do. Nehemiah had thought of everything that he could. He was helped with the things that he couldn't know. He prayed constantly along the way. He was ready after his encounter with God to re-enter his normal life and wait for his opportunity to strike. Church, the only way that I can see to do this is to be in the presence of God every day. To be depending on the Holy Spirit like we depend on breath. to rely on his guidance as to how he's going to bring about these plans and these burdens that he's put in our hearts and in our lives. And if you say to me today, well, Joe, I don't have a burden like Nehemiah did. I don't have a focus. I don't have a thing that God has put in my heart. Then I would just lovingly tell you as your pastor and as your friend that God wants to give you a burden. God is burdened about so much. He sees all the needs. He sees all the hurts. He sees all the pain. And too much of the time we become desensitized and we turn a blind eye. But God wants to soften your heart, give you a burden, and then give you a plan. He wants you to see those people at your work, at your school, at your job, on your street, in your life, that need a friend, that need somebody to come in and help them rebuild the walls of their life, to somebody to come and help them find Jesus, somebody to come and help them bring stability back to their life. He wants to give each and every single person a Nehemiah kind of vision. The question is, are you leaning in to God's presence? Are you getting in alignment with him? Are you praying? Are you preparing? Are you anticipating? Are you writing things down? Are you ready when God gives you your opportunity? Are you working? Are you being diligent? Are you doing good work? Are you consistent? Are you dependable? Are you looking for every opportunity to bring what God has put in your heart into your everyday life? Or are you just sliding back into normal? You see, there's got to be this tension. There's got to be this tension between our time in God's presence and our re-entry back into normal life. And Jesus prayed, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so there should be this constant tension in our life where God's will is being imposed on our will, and our will is to do his will and to bring the two in alignment to where heaven touches a little bit of earth through you and through me and in our lives. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes today. What's God speaking to you? What's the burden that God is putting on your heart and in your life? As you're hitting reset this summer and you're going back into the fall, what does God want to use you for? What kind of plans is he birthing in your heart when you go back to school, when you go back to work, when you think about, God, do you really want me to still be doing what I'm doing? What's God speaking to you? What's he speaking to you? Your first step today could be just to begin a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've not been following him. Maybe you've been coming for a couple weeks, or maybe this is your first time. And you say, Joe, I don't have a relationship with Christ, but I need one. I need to make him my king, my savior, the director of my life. I've been running away from God, and I need to run back to God. It's time for me to serve Jesus once again, or for the first time. God has brought you to a place today where you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. You believe that he rose again on the third day. And you want to serve him with your life. If that's you today, I just want to give you an opportunity to accept Christ, to make him the Lord of your life. And so if that's you and God's been working in your heart, it's time to give your life to him. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you today. Say, today's my day to make Jesus the Lord of my life and to serve him with my whole life. Give you another moment. It's time. It's time to surrender your life to Christ today. Amen. If you're online with us today, you could raise your hand right there where you're at. You don't have to be in the room. Amen. If you raised your hand today, you could put it down, and I encourage you to just pray a simple prayer and say, Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose again. And I invite you to be the leader, the director, the Lord of my life. From this day forward, I follow you with everything that I have. Amen. You pray a simple prayer like that, and the Bible says that you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And once the Holy Spirit takes residence in your heart and your life, then he begins to deposit God ideas, vision, dreams of how he wants to use you for his glory and for his honor. And so go ahead and stand to your feet. And if you're here today and you say, Joe, God's presence has been bringing me back into alignment with him, just like we've been talking about in this series. And it's time for me to get back to work, do good work. It's time for me to be ready. It's time for me to plan and prepare, not wait. I need to be digging in, preparing my heart, preparing my mind, preparing my life for whatever God has put into me. And you're like, and you want to just commit and say, Joe, I'm committed to the process. I'm committed to the process, because sometimes we're so about the moment when God says, hey, I want you to submit to the process. And I'm all about moments in God's presence, but I'm also all about the process that God wants to work in and through my life. And so if you just say, Joe, hey, after listening to this message today, I want to commit myself to the process. Whether it's early next spring, like it was for Nehemiah, or whenever my moment might come, I want to commit to be a person that is ready. And along the way, I'm going to do what God has put in my hands. I'm going to bloom where I planted. I'm not going to take for granted the moments I've had in God's presence. I'm going to serve with all my heart. If that's you, just raise your hand. Let's pray a closing prayer today. God, we commit ourselves to the process. We commit ourselves to doing good work, to not just taking up space, but to use every opportunity wherever we're at, no matter what we're doing, to make a big deal about Jesus. God, to be praying and planning and ready when our moment comes. God, to not wait for our moment to get ready, but to be prayerfully planning, prayerfully in anticipation. And God, when that moment comes, we might be terrified to speak, we might be terrified to step forward, but you will be with us, empowering us every single step of the way. Help us in Jesus' name to be ready for whatever is next. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We look forward to having you back next week.